The new study we are starting, the title of it is To Avoid Stumbling and Falling. To Avoid Stumbling and Falling. Now, once again, this is where grace comes in. So I, in my life, know what's wrong. God provides us an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. Grace even helps us. That's why that one verse says, if we do the mature stuff in continual things, we are able to discern what's good and what's bad, what's evil and what's good. The key here is then I take it from there, and then I try to be good, and I fail, and I'll always fail, and so will you. People write books on it. People try it, and they may go through phases where good may seem good, but altogether fail. Okay, so people fail and more fail. But God gives us the recipe. So he not only stops us from falling, he stops us from stumbling. We miss the stumbling, and we walk into stumbling places. Then when we fall, we're like, oh, do you understand that? See, what our parents are supposed to teach us is not what's wrong only. They're supposed to teach us what leads to wrong. Does that make sense? In other words, so are you on the path to? And that's how you have to look at your life. So if you look at your paper, it says the process of stumbling and falling. And this is where we see that path to sin. But in this path, it explains that process. But look at how many chances you have before you actually hit the wrong part. He starts off in James 1, 13 through 15. James 1, 13 through 15 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So first of all, they made that clear. So this is not God doing it to you. This is God allowing you to go through something based on you. Okay? God, remember that. So God doesn't tempt us because he don't need to tempt you because the problem is you. Okay? Satan wants you to be tempted because he wants you to get to the final part. In him giving me this answer, he's letting me realize this is a test that comes because of me. That's what makes me so dangerous. Now, if I'm always focused on what I want, what makes me happy, how I feel, I already lost. Did y'all get that? When it's based on the me. I told you, this is one of the verses that I said when I was told, hey, how can I keep their attention? And it was very clearly not to. This is one of them. Because if church now caters to your desire, we're catering to the problem. Does that make sense? Okay. So when he starts off saying, it's not God doing this. He's saying, this is the thing you're going to go through. He says, but each one is tempted when? By his own. When everybody say his own. His own desire or evil desire. Okay? So stopping there, he's letting you know. So each of you have a want. Okay? And that's going to be the thing that's going to be your stumbling block if you're not careful. So I go, oh, I would like to do this, but I want to be protected from doing it. That's why I go to God. We just go, I want to do this. Why can't I do this? How can I get away with doing this? Even in the Bible, we look for loopholes. God, how can I without sinning? What we're really asking is, how can I do this? Because I really want to do this. Do you understand that? Instead of recognizing, I don't want to do anything, God, until I'm clear that it's okay to do it from you. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? So the clearing, he's saying it comes from your desire. So it's saying when each one is tempted, when by his own evil desire, he is what? Dragged away and enticed. So that whole problem that you've heard me do, I really want to do this. I don't want to. That's the dragging away. And you can avoid that by immediately checking with God. Y'all get where I'm coming from? You're going in the Word to get an answer. And I always say, when in doubt, don't. If you're not clear in the Word if you're supposed to do it, then don't do it. Y'all get where I'm going with this? If it's clear you're supposed to do it, go ahead and do it if you want. As long as it stays within those boundaries. If it's fuzzy, don't do it. You understand this? But the dragging away and entice is what we see happen to Eve by Satan. First ask a question, add a little bit of doubt, starts questioning it, start lying. And the problem, once again, he was already wrong. He's already headed to hell. He gets to us because we start reasoning in us instead of following God. In that example, which is a very simple example, God already gave them the answer. Ours is no more complex. We just got in life, we have access to that same answer. God gives us the answer, but and we have a desire. I want, but God said. Now, our first problem is we don't pursue what God said enough. And we keep catering more and more to what we want. Okay? Here's the clincher. Okay, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a lot of these, that are wrong seem, everybody say seem, good. Seem good. Like the sister was talking, and a question came up on catering or helping your community. I don't know if y'all remember, we did the Bible study on what's a Christian responsibility to your community. I would encourage you, go back to that again, look at it again. Because on the surface, it seems like if I go do a good deed, so if I get together as a Christian with some other non-Christians, and we all volunteer and we do good, does that glorify God? Could. It's a good way. That's right. The only way it could glorify God is if my purpose in there and my actions are to glorify God. If I think by doing that good deed, I'm glorifying God, that's where I can be mistaken. You understand that? All right? And that's where it gets confusing. We're sitting there going, wait, shouldn't I do good deeds? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because then you have to look at the other order of my steps that says, that talks about only God makes good deeds good. Do y'all get this? All of this makes me always focus on and clinch on to God. Or I'll be Uzzah thinking I'm doing a good deed and dying for it. Because on surface, that was a good deed, wasn't it? That's the ark. Ark's getting ready to fall. Man, he's going to be a hero because he stopped it from falling. Wait a minute, he died. Makes no sense. The ones walking by faith is, y'all messed up all from the beginning, and there's no way he should have been near that thing. Reverence. Do y'all get this? Okay? So, I don't let my desires ever dictate me. Never, ever. Because we even got on board, we think God is on board for our desires. Right? And that's why today we have so many Christians that are struggling from depression, because we're like, he's not giving me what I want. Does that make sense? All right, and that's where the struggle comes in. So that's how it drags away and then entices me. And look at the next step. Then after desire has conceived. So you still haven't sinned, but you're still in a bad place, because now the desire is like, okay, we're going to do it. That's a conception. We're going to do it. You still haven't done it, but you're on your way. You got what I'm saying? This, you're convinced, going to do it. Still haven't done, you still have a chance. But he's saying this is what happens inside a person. You know what I mean? And we go after it. It says, then it gives birth to sin. Now you did it. And even then, there's repentance and getting away from it and backing off. But what happens? It says, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Why? Because now it becomes a lifestyle. Breaking it down. Dragged away and enticed, stumbling the act of losing balance from not being alert. Okay, so when I'm dragged away and enticed, I didn't realize I'm battling. Instead of just going, God said it, that's the answer. I go, well, I know other people have done it, nothing happened to them, and they're good Christians. Well, God wouldn't mind if I blah, blah, blah. And y'all see where I'm going with this. We convince ourselves, this is good, instead of checking with him. Is this good? Y'all see that? All right? And the person died. That's called an irreverent act. And then sin is birthed, because I do it. And that says the fall is allowing the stumbling to lose control to the sinful nature. So that means I go after more of what I want and get mad at what God says. You see kids do it now. Throwing tantrums. Go sit down. I don't want to sit down. Parents today kind of, oh, maybe they're tired. Maybe. And instantly that should bring up a, oh, no, 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 no. What did you say? Now, today, because we learn and understand of abuse, is why parents don't discipline. Because abuse is horrible. Abuse is bad. However, one of the worst abuses is doing nothing. That's why kids tell their parents what they're going to and not going to do, and we kind of, okay, right? And we're not engaging them the way they're supposed to be, because that authority and that understanding is part of this. They give in to what they want, not to what's said. More Christians are throwing tantrums. That's why we'll go, I know, but I'm still doing it. But I know, but still doing it. We're being those kids of, but God, I'm happy, because I'm still doing it. And then that's why we start having the people go, but God still loves you. Yes, he still loves you, but he also loves the world. And the majority of the world is going to hell. Even the ones going to hell doesn't mean he doesn't love them. It means they chose not to be in his love. Does that make sense? Okay? So it's making this clear to us that sin is birth, and then death is birth when we give in to sin and turn away from God. And that's the whole goal of Satan. I'm so happy, I'm going to continue to do this. And there's nothing wrong with it. And then it becomes deadened. Well, there's no problem with me doing this. I've seen other people do worse. I'll just keep living this way, and I'll go to church. I'll keep living this way, and I'll read my Bible. I'll keep going with this. And then you read another verse where he says, be sure of this, that this group will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And all of a sudden, you're part of that group, but you're thinking, but I go to church, I read my Bible. What did I just do? Instead of me irreverently going, or reverently going, wait, his word just told me what I am, I'm not going to heaven. What do I do? Do y'all get this? So this is the thing we're talking about, stumbling and falling. He gives us this evidence. He gives us these chances, this understanding of where it's coming from. And then he tells us how to stop doing it. And I understand this. Everyone stumbles. If not, they would be perfect. Okay? And we see that in James 3, 1 to 2. It says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is why I'm saying, you got some people, because we've turned ministry into a honored thing that people think we're going to get a pass because we ministered. They think we're going to get some special treatment. Well, it's just the other way around. We're going to get judged more harshly. You know what I mean? What some other people may get away in doing, I better not. Does that make sense? Okay? And it's very clear about that. And like I said, what you see Moses do, the rest of the Israelites did much worse, and they kept living. Do you know what I'm saying? And Moses missed out on the promised land by that. It was huge, and that's what we have to see it because it came from Moses. So it's the same thing. But then it goes on to verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Keyword, all. We all stumble. So that stumble part that I saw is that dragging away and enticing. All of us go through. Don't let nobody fool you as they're this wholesome, strong person. And please don't fool yourself that you're this wholesome, strong person. Because you fool yourself. Satan's like, I'm just waiting. Man, I'm just waiting. And then all of a sudden when that happens, you're like, oh, what have I done? Where have I gone? Why? Because you put your guard down thinking you're this wholesome person. But when the word tells me that everyone stumbles, I'm walking always with my spiritual guard up, which is grace. Do y'all get this? Okay? He says, we all stumble in many ways, so it's not always be the same way. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And he's letting you know, we're not. Does that make sense? So the stumbling part is going to happen. He's letting y'all know this, okay? We can avoid it if we're prepared for it, but we always have to realize you're headed for stumbling at all times. Now, falling is actually a choice. Falling doesn't have to happen. We'll see that even later in this. But look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. What you're going to see is we make the wrong choice. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. Now, let me stop there because I have a whole sermon on this on 1 Corinthians 10, 11, and he's talking about things that happened in the Old Testament. And if you saw what he said here, they happened as examples to us of how they made a decision and then the consequence. And he's saying, when this is an example, that means he's saying, now, I'm showing y'all that you're in the same spot. Does that make sense? Okay, you don't look at Old Testament and go, well, that's Old Testament. No. He's saying this is an example of what now is going to happen to you if you keep going in that same path. He says in verse 12, watch this. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Did y'all catch that? So when I think I'm such the strong Christian, because I think that, I'm in trouble. When I'm humble, I know, man, I can fall. You got the person that walks with confidence, and we love that. We love seeing confidence in people. Well, God hates it because that's what got man in trouble. I got this. I understand this. I know this. Humble. So, God, is this right? How about this way, God? Is that when you see a person do this, they're checking, balancing, looking, right? To us, that's not confident, but that's humble. I can fall. The person who's confident is walk across that line, no problem, wind blow, I'm dead. But do you understand the whole thing is I'm depending on me and not depending on him. The concept is fully depending on him. And that's why he says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And he watch this. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. I know all of us think, man, let me tell you what I'm going through. And God's letting you know it's no different than what other people are going through. I'm just letting you know that now. And then he even clears that up with us. He says, and God is faithful. Two things he shows us here. Watch the two things. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So that's where people always mix up saying he gives you more than you can bear. And you're reading right there. That's not what he's saying. He will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. Okay? That's step one. But watch this. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under. In other words, he did need that second part. He's already telling you, however bad you're tempted, you could have got out. There's nothing that you could. I couldn't help it. No such thing is what God's letting you know. He's like, there's nothing there that man can say I couldn't help. Because he made this promise. He will not allow you to be tempted more than what you can bear. But then he even creates a door. It's almost like a magic door that we always have access to. So not only do I have the strength to stay out of it, I have a way out of it. So we have what? No excuse. Y'all get this? All right? And this is why, so as Christians, we have to keep encouraging each other in the word, not in emotion. When a Christian comes to me and goes, man, we're all human. We all make mistakes. You're basically telling me that door wasn't your fault. That choice wasn't your fault. We all make mistakes. And then we baby a person to stay in their sin instead of encouraging a person. Man, you got to depend on God. You got to trust in God so you don't. Do you understand this? And this is why this is such so necessary for us. So we see this choice that we have, and we see the safety nets and the guards that God gives us not to fall into the wrong thing. Questions so far? Everybody with me? Okay. So now, the cause of stumbling and falling. So we see where it comes from. So we see the source of it. So what causes it? What triggers it? First of all, the world's purpose is a sin magnet. The world's purpose. Now, here's the problem again, once again, talking about how a letter came to the church in which the schools want us to go visit the church and say how they can better serve our students. On the surface, on an emotional and intellectual way, immediately I'm like, yeah, we should go and we should represent and tell them. Spiritual way, I'm like, how are we going to do that? Y'all get this? Spiritually. And I think a lot of churches would be gung-ho to run to a worldly organization and say, do this. And we'll usually stay under boundaries. And if you're understanding, they're not spiritual, so they can't understand spirituality. So what do I do? Do you get where I'm going? Do we go and just participate in what we think is good? Or how does this work? And the key I'm trying to show you here is we allow the world to dictate. We allow the world to tell me what is good. And then the world uses man to do it. Look what he says here in Matthew 18, verse 7. It says, woe to the world because of things that cause people to sin. He's basically saying the world is full of it. Because two things the world does. It makes the things that we all agree are sin in here, sin. Okay, so there's some evil people that are going to do those anyway. Nothing you can do about them. They're in trouble. However, we look at that and we put them in a bucket going, yep, that's evil. And all of us, we take a vote, we all say that's evil. Then he would take some other things that we all go, well, it's really not that bad. And in some cases, we go, no, I think it's actually good. But it's based on the world, not God. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Anything done without God. Remember the verse, anything done without faith is what? It's sin. Only time I can have faith is in God. So if the world lets me know, hey, this is good, and I follow it, guess what I just did? I sinned. Even though I'm not out there killing nobody, I'm not out there messing, you know what I'm saying? But I did something that's not based on God. And that's why he says, woe to the world. And when he says woe to the world, that we already know what's going to happen to the world. He was like, it's destruction. Okay? He said, but watch this. Such things must come. I should have understood the must come. He's sitting there letting you know the world is going to do this, and it's already in trouble. So guess what it also told me? I can't fix the world. Did y'all catch that? And that's what Christians try to do today. If we just had a better government, and if they just followed this, and then we put prayer back in school, and we blah, blah, blah. Why? Because I'm trying to fix the world, which he already said, I'm going to destroy that. Right? If somebody came to you and said, your car is going to be destroyed, would you go get a paint job, new transmission? You know what I mean? He said, no matter what you do, the car is going to be destroyed. And then you go get another windshield. Right? You put a radio in. All this stuff, man, you're getting all this stuff on you. You're wasting all your money. And then when you bring it back, look at my car. And then he destroys it. And you're mad at him. And he said, I told you it was going to be destroyed. We're doing the same thing. The things we're putting investments in, he already said, that's going away. Why are you investing in what's going away? Okay? And then we even participate. It says, but woe to the man through whom they come. So if I get led by the world, and then I tell you something's good, and you go, but I can't see that in the Bible, and I go, trust me, or you see me doing it because I see them doing that, I feel, I'm still in trouble. Did y'all catch that? So the dragging away is due to my lack of relationship with Christ and based on my sight. Y'all with me? You got to pay attention on this. This one is very, it can really mislead if you're not careful. You can be misled if you're not careful. And we also are in times when people are looking to glorify our desires instead of glorifying God. Very common spot. He says, and we're deep in this time, so nobody in this room ever experienced another time. Okay, what he's talking about here to them was coming. to us, we're deep in this time. What time am I talking about? Well, we see in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come. So that's what he's prophesying, and we're already in it, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. And we're deep in it. How do we know that? Because people use either part or none. We depend on other literature. We use the Bible along with emotion, experience, culture. Do you know where I'm coming from? It's only sound when that's all it is. Right? If I mixed cement and you know the ingredients are that sand and stuff of the cement and water, but I'm going to put applesauce in it, who's going to drive over that bridge? Do y'all get where I'm going with this? It's not going to make it sound. It may work for a while, but it'll be like somebody else poured something in here and this is not solid. That's what you'll hear. Something else is put in this, not solid. But that's what we keep doing, and we continue to do it. I'm going to raise my kid using some of what the Bible says and some of what my mama did. Only if what your mama did was based on the Bible. Do y'all get this? But it's my mom, and I got to do what my mom. Y'all see the mistake, okay? And that's what he's showing here when he's making clear that the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine means you got to show me in the Bible completely before I do it. Not, I did some of it. That means we got to stay in the Word to know it. It says, instead, and look at what they're trying to do, what they're trying to please, to suit their own desires. Did y'all catch that? It didn't say, instead, to serve God. It says, to suit me. I still want to go to church. I still want to be called a Christian, but I don't want to do it this way. That's what we said. You got it? I don't want to receive the Word. I don't want to grow in the Word. I want it in a way that I feel. You understand? That fits. Not is what God says. It says, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. So did y'all notice what it didn't say? It didn't say a whole bunch of churches will come up. It says these people will gather. Did y'all catch that? Sometimes we blame these bad churches that are coming up, but it's not the church that's coming up, it's us that's gathering them. It's almost like you ever hear people say, I wish they putting that garbage on television. Why did they put it on television? People watch it. And it stays on because many people are watching, and they're watching it all the time. So it's the same thing with these churches that are bad. Why do they exist? Because people are going. Do y'all get where I'm going? You understand? And the churches that are giving, we're not. So he's saying, we'll gather around a great number of teachers to say what our itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I want to make this clear. What it didn't say was, somehow their ears will get turned away. Did y'all notice that? It didn't say their ears will get turned. It says they will turn their ears. Amen? We like to play the victim and play like I didn't know. And I say play because God's letting you know. You have full access to everything. So go after it like you know it. The reason why we don't know is because we're not trying to know. Make sense? Think of something that you're good in. And it's usually something you really studied and you got down. You understand that. But why, when it comes to God's Word, I get a little bit of it and I want credit, but I don't have time. And this is why I hate the term Bible scholar. I hate that term. Because it makes it seem there's only a select few people that can really understand this Word. And all the rest of us, man, it's too much for me. And God never said that. We said that. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He didn't say, I gave Pastor Keith everything he needs. No, I gave you all everything you need for life and godliness. So then why are we still playing, oh, I can never get that. It's us not getting it. It's us choosing not to get it. Because we're turning our ears away from the truth and turning aside to myths. Think about that. Okay? So once again, here's the thing. Because the myths are more desirable. Right? You can have your cake and eat it too. You can have this thing out here you really desire and go to heaven and get all your reward. Wouldn't that sound great? Go out there and do everything your heart desires and you're going to heaven. Not only are you going to heaven, all your rewards. That's what a lot of Christians think today. As long as I label myself Christian, I'm good. Right? God's going to go, oh, come on. Even though his word's like, I'm warning you. I'm telling you. Don't. But we turn aside to no, but I believe this other thing over here. A Christian living for their freedom. Okay? So if I'm not living for God, I'm usually living for what I am allowed to do, and I want to make sure I get the most of it. There are some of us that think we're missing out. There are Christians that simply think they're missing out. I'm always in the Word, I'm always doing what God wants me to, and I see other people living. You ever hear that? The problem is a lot of people they're pointing at that they're saying are living are non-Christian. So what's the matter with that statement? So most of the people we get mad at and we say they're living are not Christians. So what's the matter with that statement when we say they're living? Because Christians, only Christians are living, right? Yep, exactly. And they're dead. So remember, because Jesus says, I come to give you life. That's the first part. And then life more abundantly. So he's letting you know, those who we think are living are still living in death. So they're dying. They're walking dead. And we get jealous of that. Because by the flesh, desires what it thinks they're missing out on. And I think a lot of us have that missing out on mentality. I don't want to be missed out on. I don't want to miss out on. I don't, you know, we kind of put ourselves in that thing of, I want to have this. You know, I should be able to have this. And he's showing us this, in which we live more for our freedoms instead of glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 8, 9-13 says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Now, that's a big part there. First of all, he recognizes the weak, and they're trying, but they still allow some other categories in there. But God really protects the weak. And if I'm one of the people that they see me doing something out of my ignorance or out of my, I'm allowed to do what I want to do out of my pride, and somebody else stumbles, man, I'm in trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. Look what he goes on to show. He says, for if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have the knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? Here's what he's saying. I'm using it in today's world because a lot of us are going, whew, it's not me because I'm not going to eat an idol. But no, no. Like, for instance, is drinking wrong? No. Some people seen you drinking, won't they running? I'm going to get drunk. I saw Pastor Keith drinking and stuff like that. So would it be wrong if I did it ignorantly? Absolutely. Absolutely. If somebody seen me and that was their excuse to do it, so then I got to be very careful. You know what? Somebody may, so I may have to, you know what, I'm not going to. Or, and this is what you have to make sure you have in your mind. Not, I'm allowed to. Not, I wouldn't say I'm wrong. As long as I don't get drunk. And we use it as that. But God gives us a freedom and say, remember, you're held accountable for that freedom. Nuh-uh. If they read the Bible like I did, they wouldn't be. That's not what he said. Do you understand that? I got to be careful for you. Bible told me that. But because of my desires, no. I did my study and I'm have my relationship with God. Why do I have to worry about you? Not realizing you're going to hear some things that you didn't realize you did because you're only looking out for you. Amen? Are you careful how you are based on how it affects others? Or are you like, right? Because we usually judge people based off of how we think they should be, not on what it may be and what they may be going through. That's our problem. We get mad at others when they're doing something that we think is stupid instead of having compassion and helping them through what is troubling them. It's because we just do it for us. He says, if anyone with a weak conscience sees you having this knowledge eating in the idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. So what you're doing is right, but they don't understand it. So it becomes wrong. He even shows it here. When you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Did y'all catch that? He's saying, even though originally that's not a sin. Because a Christian already knows, if I went to Idol's restaurant, what he's saying is people don't know any better. They went to an idol and they used to get food to get power and extra stuff with it. That just like you have Christians today who still have good luck charms or still have some of the worldly things to help them feel better. You know what I mean? They'll take some of the worldly charms or good luck things along with being a Christian, which you can't do. That's idolatry in a wrong way. But if I just went to a restaurant and they called it idolatry temple, I just want some chicken and I go get the chicken. I don't think the chicken's going to do anything for me. I'm fine as a Christian. However, if somebody sees, pastor went to that. Do y'all get where I'm going? That's what he's saying. He's saying when they see you do something based on what you know, they'll do it based on their ignorance. And because of their ignorance, they sin. And they sin because of what they see me do. So yes, I need to walk on eggshells. I need to be careful. I can't watch that because I don't know how, you know what I mean? I won't go to this because I don't want people to stumble. I'll be careful on what I do and not to cause others to fall. And that's when it said, when this weak brother whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge, when you sin against your brother in this way, you wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. That's why he makes clear, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. He's taking a God-given freedom and saying, I'll cancel that God-given freedom in order that you may not fall. huge, because that means I'm living my life looking out for you, not looking out for me. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. So, we see this as a common problem, and it's a danger for us to cause others to sin. Hugely dangerous. Okay? So, Mark 9. So, he's showing us that Satan causes people to sin, but it's also us that do it. So, you already seen the Christian who does it not thinking, who's just living for their own freedom. But we see how for us to do it and how dangerous it is for us to cause them to sin. That's why in Mark 9, verse 42, it says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. In other words, that's death sentence. If I cause you to sin, that's the death sentence. The problem is we do it so much today because we really don't think about it. What I wear, what I listen to, what I watch, how I live, I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't know how many people are making fall. I don't care. And that's our problem. And a lot of people do it because what other Christians are supposedly doing. Does that make sense? One thing somebody did ask, he said, Pastor, let's say something happened, you got richer or something like that. You know, would you go buy a Rolls Royce or something like that? And let's say I had enough money to do it and it wasn't a problem. It's not wrong to buy the Rolls Royce, but could it cause people to stumble? I know to this day a lot of people who don't go to churches because they see these ministers flaunting their wealth. He needs a mic back there. Do you understand? So it's careless for them to me to go, look what I have, and making it look like I'm mismanaging God's money. And say, even though they're probably not doing anything wrong. They could be billionaires by some inheritance or whatever it may be, but people may stumble. So that's where you go, you know what? I'm going to be very careful. This will get me around just as well. Yes.
Through those examples, while you're watching those people stumble, other Christians or non-Christians, can you use that in order for you not to stumble? By not watching them go through it, and also kind of can't really counsel them through it because they're unbelievers. But let's just say the believers, you do counsel through it, and they still stumble. Can you still just use that example for you not to fall as well?
You can, but the big part, the first part you want to understand, because our encouragement and helping the weak and the timid has to be make sure I'm not the fault. Okay. That's the first key he's saying to us. Make sure, Keith, you're not the reason. And that has to be in that way. Even for me, watching other people, I have to be strong always to look at the Lord, and only strong Christians do that. Weak Christians are still influenced by others. And that's where we have to be careful. And that's why Christians most likely will... God gives us the freedom to see how much we love. Will I go after freedom because I can, or sometimes I'll go, you know what, I'm going to pass on this because it may cause. And that's what he's trying to tell us in this, to make sure, Keith, make sure this thing that you're doing doesn't cause. Even he's letting me know there are going to be some I may not know, but if I was doing it carelessly, that's going to be the thing I have to answer for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it is for me also, but it's for me to understand. That's why I always look to God. Because we tend to do it sometimes. I'm sure a good stumbling block for us, and this is not somebody even trying it. How many times have you gone through a trial? And it seems like you're going through it over and over again. And you look at somebody over there, and their life's going good. And the first thing you're like, oh, I'm mad at God. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm stumbling. You get where I'm coming from. And I fall based off of what I see. Okay? Strong Christian, that person would never come to their viewpoint, because they're walking based on what God says. They're fully going, got it. He got me in a specific position. I'm going through a specific thing for my specific purpose in him. You know what I mean? It all comes down to glorify him. Hopefully I answered what you asked.
I think.
You think? If you could rephrase it too, let me know.
Well, I'm still stuck on the applesauce and the bridge.
Oh, you got that? Okay, I understand.
You just want to eat the bridge. Yeah.
See, it's a stumbling block. And he needs help. So either which way, that'd be some crunchy applesauce. Yeah.
Now, I know it's a verse that says, use your wealth to make friends.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, exactly what you're talking about. I think it's in Luke 16.
I don't know.
Okay, it's somewhere in there, yeah.
So I'm just thinking on just with the whole stumbling block thing.
Yep.
So even in that instance, it's, if you're using your wealth, trying to think of something. So say you're using your wealth and you're buying tickets for people to go to a gospel concert.
Yep.
So using that situation, make friends.
Yep.
Now, in that situation, if somebody sees you doing that and think you're flaunting or whatever, is that personal with them? Like, is that something
that
they
cause
need
them
to
stumble? See, if I do it for the wrong purpose, if I do it for the wrong purpose, I'll do it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. That's why at the end of the verse it says, then you will be welcome into heaven. Basically, it's basically be wise with our wealth. The wealth isn't for me to live in my glory to show people how rich I am and great. I can utilize it in order to make people around me so I can minister to them. You know what I mean? I have full access. Now, be careful not to make that the purpose why they come. However, I make the access more. I may make the comfort a little better. You know what I mean? I may add something to it, but I can't make it the purpose. All this is going to be shrewdness that on me depending on God. In other words, I'll use my money more so to help in the ministry and less of getting me what I want. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? It'll be less on you being all and wild on how much wealth I have, and more on me shrewdly getting you, hey, come on in. I'm inviting people to come eat. So I'm inviting a whole lot of people to come eat. Do you understand that? And I know it's going to cost a lot of money, and some people are going to waste it, and not everybody's going to do it. But now I have your undivided attention. Here's the speech that you're going to get while you're eating. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying do that all the time, but I'm saying you get an access. You're pulling them in. You may pay for access to a place. And there's different ways, but that's where the whole thing is. We got to be shrewd. If you read that one, it's being shrewd. And the more money you have, he was like, you utilize that to bring more people. But don't make that the purpose. That's the biggest thing. Because if I said, you come here, you'll always eat, but I'm going to minister to you, they're only going to come to eat. Do you understand? So we got to be shrewd, and we got to be wise with the shrewdness. That verse is always hard for people because they're like, so what do I do? Do I go pay them? Do I go? No. Okay, but you use it in a way that's shrewd so that you are getting them without them realizing now they're going to be ministered to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was just thinking the scenario. So say you were at a conference. You went to a conference before on marriage.
Yep.
And you thought it was a godly conference. It meant the word. So if you just said, not saying you're buying tickets, but hey, I came across 6 tickets for this marriage conference or something.
That could be it.
Then you just put it out there to whoever and
whoever want to come. People did that when the one on Christ was put out. The movie on Christ was put out. They were buying out theaters, and they didn't say who was. They were like, "Come see this movie for free." Do you understand what I'm saying? And that movie ministered to them, but they got to go see it for free. Does everybody get that? But it's shrewd ways. Be careful. Don't make it the purpose, because then you've shot yourself in the foot. That's why he wants us to be shrewd in a spiritual way, not be shrewd based on how the world is shrewd, if that makes sense. Got it? Thank you. All right, last thing we'll go over, and then we'll close. I want to make sure, Kristen, what are you saying? Where was I? Oh, okay. So a Christian who tries to be justified by anything other than faith in Jesus is falling from grace. So he shows in Galatians 5, thank you, 4 through 6, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. So just going back to, if I try to do something by my actions, I already showed I'm not walking by faith. Even if what I'm trying to do is for God. If I try to be a better person, but it's based on anything else other than God, I'm no different than a person out there sinning. That's deep. You have to let that get in there for a while. He's saying, I gave you the only way. That's what he's saying. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if I go out and try to be a good person by writing my own good person book and doing what I think a good person is, I'm no different than a person who's just doing evil, because I'm not trusting in God. The only ones that do it. And that's why he said the law was a way of them saying, by your own actions, do this. By your own actions, do good. That's what the law was doing. And it showed that man felt miserably. And he says, so when you do that, you're saying, I'm not doing it by Christ. So when people still try to live a good life on their own, wasting their time. Okay? But he goes on to say, you have fallen away from grace. So, because remember, grace is offered. The main core of grace is depending on God. Understand, the main core of grace is depending on God. So that means, let's say I want to go through this situation and deal with this situation. What God will say is, all right, trust in me. I'll deal with the situation. Did y'all catch that? See, we on ourselves, God, give me strength to do this, give me money to do this, give me my ideas, and I'll deal with it. Nope. God is saying, follow what I tell you, that thing will be taken care of. Now, by grace, I'll understand, doesn't mean it'll go away all the time. What it means is I'll be prepared to go through it. And in fact, I'll benefit from it because all things work for the good for those. You see, grace gives me the understanding of it. I'll go through that storm just as intense as everybody else, but I'm going to benefit from it. Everybody else is going to go through a storm. That's the difference. That's only when I'm in grace. But when I go, you know what, when the storm comes, I'm going to block up the windows and I'm going to get my family and I'm going to run away, I fell from grace. Now, I'm trying to do it, but we've already failed. You're going to fail. That's what he's saying. Does that make sense? I'm trying to do something that God already offered. You do what I tell you, I'll take care of that. That's why he has that, seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. That's grace. You know, I can't really go to church because I got to work 12 jobs and I got to do this and I got to look for my family. He's like, you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Understand what that means. All this other stuff will be covered. You'll go to work and it'll work out in that right way. And the right food will come in. Even if you go through hard times, it'll be taken care of. But you got to do this. That's me trusting in him. Me doing it on my own is God will understand that I got to feed my family and I got to take care of my family. And I was like, you fell from grace. Your family's in danger because you're trying to do it instead of trusting in God. Do y'all get this? He makes it clear. He says, verse 5, but by faith we eagerly await the Spirit, the righteousness from which we hope, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. He's saying, so the physical thing that I try to do, meaning this, you're going to have the hardworking person that tries to live good. You're going to have the half-stepping person that tries to do good, meaningless. They're both wrong. Because they're trying to do good. The person who trusts in Christ, that's faith, is the only good. Do y'all get that? Only when I did it, what God said, is when I'm doing right. All the other ones, waste of time. Total waste of time. And a dangerous waste of time. That's why he says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What does that mean, Pastor? Jesus says, if you what? Love me, you'll do what I command. Did y'all catch that? So faith is, I'm just doing what my Father told me. Not, well, God, I'll do this, but it didn't seem like it worked, so I'm not doing it next week. And I did this other thing, and it seemed like it worked, and I read this book, and they all seemed like it worked, so I'm only going to do it because when they seem like it worked. But God, if it seems like it worked, then I'll do it. I blew it. Because now it's based on me. However, if I do it, no matter what, even when things still seem like they're crumbling, and I still keep doing it, I'm benefiting. I might not see it, but that's where the trust comes in. No. That's why he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Do y'all get this? This is a concept of truly living in faith, not based on sight. Most Christians are living by sight. I did this, God did this, God did this, God did. You're telling me the minute this stops happening, I'm going to stop doing this. Do y'all catch that? So we're letting our senses or our sight say, keep doing it and God will keep. And that's what some people say. It's not what the Bible says. Faith is, I'm doing it, I know I'm benefiting, even though I don't see it. You get what? But when I do see it, it's going to be wow. But at the moment, I don't. Amen? Any questions? Yep? No? You sure? Okay. You take it back? Okay. All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we give you the glory, the praise, and honor. Thank you so much, dear.